This is the Cube Show on Demand. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
It's that all born radio. Yeah.
I'm a good person.
You know, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I.
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yum. Appreciate you tuning in. Live in the Southern RV Wholesale Studios. Go to srvwholesale.com. As we do each and every morning, let's welcome in our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
What's going on? How are you, kind sir?
Doing well. I saw some comments from Oscar De La Hoya yesterday. He says, quote, delusional Conor McGregor shouldn't even be sanctioned to fight Floyd Mayweather. We can talk about where the financial status of boxing is and where it is as a sport, but is this a deep-rooted problem for boxing that a guy like Conor McGregor can come from the UFC and get a fight like this that's going to make this kind of money?
I mean, if you're a professional boxer who have spent your entire life working for your opportunity to get to this level, and, you know, let's run through that. Fighting Floyd Mayweather changes your entire family tree forever.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're made forever. And it's a little bit like winning the lottery because he fights so infrequently and there's so many boxers. And now to hear that somebody who shouldn't even really be in the game is getting the opportunity, it's got to be the most frustrating thing ever if you're a boxer.
I agree. And you think about just what it takes to get there and the pinnacle that that is, changes everything for a long time. So I'll be interested to see if this is there anybody else that you would think of in the near future that could potentially try to cross over? Is this something that becomes more of, maybe not a regular occurrence, but more of a regular occurrence?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is really, Conor McGregor has talked his way in here. If Conor McGregor was just a regular UFC fighter and wasn't somebody who kind of fashioned himself as his own hype machine, this wouldn't have happened. You know, several years ago, there was all kinds of discussion of, hey, what if we had Roy Jones Jr. fight Anderson Silva in a boxing match? And that was, considered crazy and written off at the time. And this is when Roy Jones Jr. is kind of on the decline, not kind of, in a major way. And Anderson Silva, what most would consider, was a much more calculated striker. And now, fast forward, and you have a guy whose striking is not as respected, and he's not taking on a boxer kind of on the downslide. He's taking on a boxer who is still considered the gold standard. This is way, way lopsided, maybe the craziest idea in the history of professional fights. It amazes me that anybody is willing to throw any money down and bet on Floyd Mayweather.
Conrad Thompson of First Family Mortgage with us. You brought up a good point, and I mentioned this right after this fight was announced and a little bit right before it was announced. How crazy is it to think about And I would love to go back and find the first either interview or tweet or Instagram post that came from Conor McGregor on this. But we're essentially talking about a guy who loudmouthed his way, who sort of social media bullied his way into one of the largest paydays in professional combat sports history, speaking of Conor McGregor. I mean, he trash-talked his way into this, did he not?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, but this is what people have done, you know, for a long, long time in the UFC, is just smack-talk the guy with the belt, and then eventually they make the fight. But he did it for the biggest fight in history. I mean, it really is something that other fighters should study. It goes to show you that, you know, being the best in the world and at fighting and being the best in the world at promoting are two totally different things, and they pay completely differently. I mean, it really should be, especially when you consider Floyd Mayweather. I mean, I think if you were to take a poll of people who've purchased Floyd Mayweather pay-per-views and have kind of followed his career, and you said, honest to goodness, tell me the last time you bought a Floyd Mayweather pay-per-view and came away feeling satisfied, like, I got my money's worth. That was exciting. I mean, it hasn't happened.
No, it would, maybe that Shane Mosley fight. I watched that at your house. And the only reason I even would say that is because, I mean, Mosley at least shook Mayweather a little bit. I think it was in round 7 or 8, and opened the door to allow us to believe it was possible for him to get a win in that fight, but then Mayweather completely shut him down the last 4 or 5 rounds of that fight. I mean, that gave us a little bit of it, but completely satisfied? That's been a while.
Yeah, I would probably say it's been 09 against Ricky Hatton. He knocked Ricky Hatton out in dramatic fashion. You know, Ricky fell into the corner and through the ropes. That was a knockout and a real decisive finish. You know, if you wanted to fast forward a couple of years, you could say his fight against Victor Ortiz, where Ortiz did a sucker punch headbutt, and then Floyd came back when Victor was apologizing, knocked him out. And then, of course, in the promo afterwards says, "It's protect yourself at all times." I mean, he knew he took a cheap shot to knock him out, but at least
within the rules.
Yeah.
Now, that from an entertainment value perspective, the Victor Ortiz fight was great because I think so many of us were watching that kind of like, what in the hell did we just see? Was that legal? Can you do that? What happened? How did that happen? And Floyd made perfect sense, like you just mentioned, after the fight. Protect yourself at all times. The bell hadn't rung. The ref hadn't stepped in. And he put one on his nose and knocked him out.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying is that's what we should expect from this pay-per-view. To me, is if we're not going to get some shenanigans like this,
probably not going to be worth it. Conrad Thompson of First Family Mortgage with us. You should protect your mortgage at all times. And if you haven't looked at it, First Family Mortgage is a great place to start and finish.
That's exactly right, man. And one of the big reasons that we're different from the other mortgage companies is that we actually ask you to take a look at the end of your loan. Specifically, what we're talking about is how old are you going to be when you pay your house off? Does the end of your loan line up with your long-term plans? You'd be surprised how many times we get calls from folks who say, "Hey, I just realized my kids are going to college next year. I'm not ready. Can you help me get some cash?" What if they would have planned a lot sooner than that? What if they would have called when their kids were young and said, "You know what? We're struggling right now to kind of pay all of our bills. We want to hit the reset button, put everything into one monthly payment, and then go ahead and do it for 15 years. Because if we go ahead and do it for 15 years, by the time our youngest kid is driving and by the time our oldest kid is going to college, we're completely debt-free. We'll be able to handle their two new car payments, their two really ridiculous insurance premiums for driving a car at 16 and 18, and we'll be able to help them tackle all of their college expenses. Without that, you wind up saddling the kids with student loans. But maybe you've already passed that in your life. What about retirement? Lots of people are saving for retirement, but if you've still got your single biggest bill, you're going to save money you earned yesterday to pay a mortgage payment a few years from now for a house you bought 35 years ago. What are you doing? Punch it in your phone, get out of debt faster and cheaper. We're going to help you get a plan together at 425-0105.
Great stuff, Conrad. Appreciate the time. We'll talk with you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, guys.
Conrad Thompson of First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. Let's roll right into 10 After Tweets, also brought to you by 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets.
I haven't hit this with you yet today, Arkishay. We did mention some of the NBA news that's happening. The Dwight Howard trade. Jimmy Butler saying he does not want to end up in Cleveland. TMZ Sports tweets. Shaq to Knicks. Keep Porzingis. Trade everybody else. There were some rumors floating around yesterday about apparently the Knicks having Kristaps Porzingis on the trading block. Your thoughts?
Phil Jackson was always going to be a disaster as a GM of the New York Knicks, or as a president of basketball operations. This guy was a great coach, and he coached one way, one thing, this triangle offense that he cannot get off of. He loves this offense so much. It's his baby. It brought him so many championships. But you know what the Knicks don't have? They don't have Shaq and Kobe. They don't have Michael and Scotty. They don't have any of those types of pieces. And Jeff Hornacek, he doesn't even get a chance to be a real head coach. Derek Fisher, complete disaster as a head coach. This is just absolute total train wreck garbage when you add this Kristaps Porzingis information onto it. The Knicks haven't talked to him since the season ended.
I don't understand that.
Kristaps,
how does that even happen?
Kristaps completely skipped his exit interview at the end of the season, went to Latvia with his family, and no one has contacted him. He's your best player. Not Someone's got to text a brother or something.
Something you'd think.
Be like, hey, yo, Chris, you cool? We could. As long as you don't get back a new number, who dis, we should be okay. Man,
what about a text? Contract? With like the little piece of paper and a pen? Like, we have you under contract. You should.
That would be some kind of communication.
Back.
Look, the Knicks don't want to win. And here's the thing. It all goes back to one of the worst owner, and I'll just go ahead and say it because it's true. The worst owner in all of sports, and his name's James Dolan. He is a complete disaster. He's having former Knicks greats arrested. He's having charges pressed against them, and now they're having to go play in 3-on-3 tournaments for Ice Cube. He is making some of the worst contracts the Knicks or anyone has ever seen in the last 15 years. The Knicks a couple years ago were just getting out from under some of the worst contracts ever written in the NBA. And then Phil Jackson starts coming out and saying stuff like, hey, listen, Carmelo doesn't want to be here. Maybe we can win. Maybe he's better off somewhere else. Maybe he wants to go chase championships somewhere else. Why do you antagonize everybody like this? It doesn't work in today's NBA. It doesn't. No one wants to play for the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis says he wants to play for New York and win a championship there. But you know when that's not going to happen? Ever. As long as James Dolan owns the team and Phil Jackson is making decisions like this.
It's almost a perfect storm for misery when you consider just the overall population of the franchise and sort of what it means to play in that building, be in that building, be courtside in that building, watch that team play. It's almost a really unfortunate turn of events that someone can own that team and sort of bank on those things to still allow the team to be successful, not on the court,
right,
but everywhere else. And that's kind of what the Knicks have. Like, people are going to go to those games. That it's a rite of passage to be seen at those games by celebrities, mm-hmm. especially near the courtside. Spike Lee's going to have his season tickets down there no matter what. People are going to cover the team. They're going to talk about the team. They're going to be on the front page of the New York Post and the Daily News. So he doesn't have to go out there and try to win. That's the most unfortunate part of this, really, in my opinion. But I agree with you that he's a miserable owner.
It's gross. It's really gross. Because it wasn't that long ago the Knicks were in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not talking about the late 90s. I'm talking about like 4 years ago.
Mashable tweets, Whole Foods plus Alexa plus drones plus personalized recommendations plus no lines equals Amazon's vision of the future. Are we really thinking that like we're going to just be able to log on to – we're just going to be able to yell over to our – speaker in our kitchen and say, Alexa, hot sauce and bananas. And it just shows up at our door via drone 20 minutes later? We don't really think this is real, do we?
Cole, this is the same society that believed...
We don't even have...
That we're going to have driving flying cars in 2000.
We don't even really have real hoverboards yet. I mean, we can't... Our hoverboards still have wheels.
That's for landing.
I saw a guy in 6th Avenue in Decatur rolling down the middle of the turn lane on a hoverboard yesterday.
That's the future, man.
He went about 500 yards down 6th Avenue in Decatur on a hoverboard.
The future, man. Are you afraid of it? Buckle up, buddy, because that's the future. By the way, Nick went to the semifinals, not the finals.
He was rolling, so it's not a real hoverboard. Also, I haven't got to this with you. Speaking of the Knicks making you mad, this may make you... Well, there's a part of this that will make you mad, and there's a part of this that I think you'll appreciate. MLB, at MLB, tweets, the at Red Sox retired number 34 on Friday.
Finally. He's been retired for 4 months.
But we do often talk... Now, I know you, David Ortiz, and the Mitchell report equals frustration.
Listen, people, why don't people ever bring it up?
But we do often talk about how dumb it is for teams to wait 8, 10, 12 years to retire. If you know you're going to retire a number, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if his number's good enough to retire now, why wait until 2028?
Go ahead.
Just do it.
Retire it now. Put the asterisk next to it for the Mitchell report. And just do what we need.
Up on the monster?
Yeah. Put the little asterisk there. We all know what that means. You knew you're gonna. You knew from like 3 years ago when he retired, he was going to be a Ring of Honor guy, a monster mogul, whatever you want to call them. You knew that jersey was going to be retired. So why wait? You didn't need. I don't know why they're waiting this long to retire 61 at Auburn, but fair enough.
I mean, really getting.
Yeah.
Late we're in getting the years there. Here. Brett McMurphy tweets, Butch Davis's debut with FIU has been moved to Thursday, August 31st, 6 p.m. kick on CBS Sports Net. I'm okay with some of these lower tier games moving up in the calendar. By the way, why would you not want to be the first college football game of the year? Like, I would play on August 1st if they'd let me.
I saw a poll.
If I'm FIU or Central Florida, like, can we go to August 20th just to be the first game of the year?
I saw a poll of Central Florida fans who were saying that they would rather their games be on, like, Thursday night than Saturday noon. It was, like, 68 to 32 vote. As far
it's because
the
they're
percentage.
All really Florida and Florida State fans, and they want to watch those games as well.
Well, I'm just saying,
we'll support our team as long as it's not up against them.
We talk about these lower tier teams. I mean, that's why do you think? Why do you think we get so much Sun Belt Fun Belt and so much Maction?
So I saw this tweet. Ole Miss football at Ole Miss FB tweets. We are biased, but we think our at Nike jersey looks cool. It's coming your way at Justin Bieber. Hashtag hottie toddy emoticon hunted.
I really hope you weren't going to
do
this.
In the photograph, it's a picture of the Ole Miss jersey, the navy with the stripes on the sleeve that says Bieber with the number one on the back. Why would he be number one? Do you think he would? You're just going to give him Laquon Treadwell's number?
Everybody's number one, man. Unless you're the president and you get whatever number president you are.
Now, there's a photograph of a screenshot of a Bieber tweet that reads, Leafs above all, but other than that, you give me any jersey that looks cool, I'll throw it on. He did go Caps there. Now, I read this only to give you our friend Brandy Radliff at Southern Girl Rebel responds to Ole Miss football and Justin Bieber. Is this one of our self-imposed sanctions?
Oh, that's mean, but true. It is one of what the NCAA said.
And also a good tweet.
You will not have to send this. How many retweets and likes that has? I remember I saw that tweet a few days ago. Whenever it was.
The Ole Miss football?
No.
Brandy's has 1,000 likes, 159 retweets.
It should. It's a solid.
It should have more.
Yeah. All right, what's a reply, not a retweet, so it's different.
We are back with Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network live from Omaha next. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network joins us every Wednesday. Laura, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We just read the tweet in 10 After Tweets about Ole Miss football sending Justin Bieber a jersey because he says he'll wear any jersey. Could that become one of their bowl game names for one of their regular season teams, like the Bieber Bowl for one game this year?
Well, there's good alliteration there, so I don't see why not. Sounds good to me.
I kind of like it. We were talking to Alabama receivers earlier in the show because Robert Foster involved in a motorcycle accident. Shouldn't affect his status during the season, but that's a position that losing Ardarius Stewart, there hasn't been a lot of production opposite Calvin Ridley returning to the Crimson Tide. You were there in the spring. Is there a guy you expect to maybe be number two or three that could see be a major target for Jalen Hurts this fall?
Yeah, you know, I think the guy to keep an eye on is Jerry Jeudy. He was a five-star guy coming in with this last recruiting class, and he looked really good in the spring game. And I get it, you don't want to get too wrapped up in the spring game, but man, I mean, this kid is talented. And he was somebody that Nick Saban continually singled out to me, just saying, hey, you got to keep an eye on this guy. Incredibly athletic, great hands, really ran some nice routes for Tua Tagovailoa. And granted, they were going against second team defense, but I still think this is a kid to watch out for. And he could kind of be, you know, similar to like a Josh Jacobs who really breaks out, somebody that you didn't necessarily see coming, but can really be a big weapon for them.
Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network with us now. A&M goes out to College World Series yesterday. Florida will move on to the semifinal. We kind of talked about Florida and how weird this trip would be for them because of that super regional and the rain and the delays. Has that had any impact on this team that you've seen thus far?
No, they've been just fine. They're incredible right now. And I think the one question for Florida coming into this College World Series was, would the offense do anything at all? And, you know, last night in our game, there we see Austin Langworthy, who, if you look back at the recruiting from baseball last year, Austin Langworthy was one of three best hitters in the state of Florida. So if you're one of the best hitters in the state of Florida coming out of high school, that's saying a lot because of the baseball talent there. This kid can absolutely hit, and he went oppo with a home run yesterday. He was dealing with a hamate bone injury. They've had some injuries throughout the season that have affected the entire team. So, you know, I think he's finally feeling good. And then Deacon Lippitt getting hot, but it just seems like anybody in this Florida lineup can kind of be the hero in any given day because they really haven't had that many heroes before. But, you know, I think we're looking at a more complete Florida lineup as J.J. Schwartz has been better and Deacon Lippitt has been better as well. And here's the thing. You watch them play defense. They look like a professional team. You watch them pitch. Those pitchers are going to be in the big leagues. So they are a tough matchup. What Brady Singer did to a very talented Louisville lineup is exceptional. At this point, I think Florida has a very nice path to the championship series. They only have to win one more game to get to the champ series.
And they're obviously opponent yet to be determined. LSU facing elimination tonight against Florida State. What do you make of that matchup for the Bayou Bengals potentially looking to advance?
Yeah, I'll be on the call for this one, and we're excited about it. I mean, this is a great matchup, great game. And it's interesting because they already matched up in game one, and FSU made a lot of mistakes and sort of gave the game away. But prior to that, LSU was struggling against their starting pitcher, Tyler Holton, who was dominant. So Cole Sands gets the mound for FSU today, and his ERA is just a tick over one. So this guy has been really successful. But I like the matchup for LSU with Jared Poche on the mound. Poche is a guy that doesn't have the most dominant stuff, but he has just been good when he's needed to be good. And he actually came in relief in that game against Florida State just the other day. So it's kind of interesting because they've already seen him, but when they saw him, they didn't have success against him. And the lefty matchup really works well against this FSU lineup. So I don't see LSU losing this game. Now, it is a tough path. I mean, if they do win, they still have to win two more games to get to the champ series. And that could be very difficult. But this is an LSU team that's pretty much built for that if they can get a little bit more out of their pitching. And right now, you know, if they were able to win today, then they would have a day off before they'd have to play again. You could potentially see an Alex Lang run back out there. And, you know, then they look like a team that can be dominant potentially down the stretch here.
Does it show you just how close all these teams are in reality? When you look at a team like Florida State, who's on the brink of elimination and they're super regional, they bounce back and get here to Omaha now, have a chance to continue to advance. These elite teams in college baseball, are they all separated by just a very small margin, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. I also think it's just so hard to get here. I mean, North Carolina should be here. It's crazy that Davidson knocked them out, but that's just baseball. I mean, that's the way it goes, and that can happen when you're looking at opportunities for teams, especially in three-game series. But I think the thing that we're seeing here is that we really do have the best teams here. And now that you said Cal State Fullerton and A&M have been eliminated, we really have the best teams remaining here in Omaha in college baseball. And it's just an incredible thing to see. And I think it's really going to make for some great games potentially going forward. And then in the Champ Series, I mean, whoever makes it to the Champ Series, it's going to be an incredible matchup either way, which is really exciting. But I think the big difference for anybody is pitching and defense. If you're a team that's set up well from those standpoints, which actually Cal State Fullerton was, but they just ran into some situations where they were walking too many guys, you're set up really well here because that's what matters most, especially if you can go 2-0, you're set up great. I mean, Florida has all these days off. You know, Oregon State has 3 days off after their win yesterday. So there's a way to really make this easy for yourself in advancing to the Champ Series, and it has everything to do with pitching and defense.
Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network and ESPN with us. We had Peter Burns on earlier. He said this is his first trip to Omaha and just talked about how impressed he was. You've covered a lot of different sporting events. What separates Omaha and the College World Series from maybe anything else you've covered?
This event is incredible. I mean, I don't think I've ever covered anything like it before, and I've literally loved every single second of it. And it's just so special. I mean, I think there's a great combination of just so many fans coming out, 25,000 fans in the seat. I mean, the stands have been packed every single day, which is just incredible. And between games, you'll see fans lined up for like a mile down the street outside the stadium. It just has this buzz. It has this energy. You're seeing future Major League Baseball stars perform in these huge moments, and it's incredible. And I think just all the different stories from all these different teams. I mean, just tonight alone, for instance, Mike Martin at FSU, he's been there for so many years, feels like 100 years for this guy. And this team wants to win a national championship for him so bad. They felt like their entire season hasn't been what they've wanted it to be, and yet they still made it to Omaha, and they have a chance to do it for him. And he's just the coolest. And then you've got LSU on the other side. It's just stacked with so much talent. They're such a talented athletic team. They've had so many moments where this year they felt like, you know, they weren't achieving what they could. And yet, you know, they had four guys come back and forego money in the draft. Greg Dykeman turned down $600,000 to come back and try and win a national championship. So there's a lot on the line for all of these teams, and it's just really special here.
If you need proof that Mike Martin's been at Florida State for a while, I can remember getting letters to go to Mike Martin baseball camps when I was in high school. So it's been a long time. Laura, great stuff. We always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up next week.
All right.
Laura Rutledge of ESPN and the SEC Network joining us. Is that a kind of a bucket list item for you if you were able to go and attend and be a part of the College World Series? It was something that I wanted to do. When I was in school, Auburn was pretty good. You know, Tim Hudson and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go and witness it and see it. That was obviously before TD Ameritrade Park was around. But it's not something I've ever been able to do. And now, I don't know if I... Listen, it seems cool. For some reason, for me, it seemed cooler when the old park was there. But
I was just going to say, now that it's TD Ameritrade Park and it's new one, it loses a little bit for me. It's still a cool environment to watch. I don't know if it's a must-go for me to see anymore.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, a follow-up on our discussion involving Joe Buck, Paul Azinger, and the Fox Brooks Koepka girlfriend, Miss Q. Next, right here on Cube Show.
Nate Bargatze is the comedian this week at Stand Up Live, and you can check him out online to get the tickets at standuplive.com. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see him this Friday night in the 9 o'clock hour. So be listening in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze, one of the best young comedians out there. Maybe not even considered so young anymore. Very, very, very funny. Chance to see him at Stand Up Live for free this weekend. And that also should remind you guys that on Sunday night, I'll be performing at the Comedy Mayhem Showcase, which will be on Sunday at 7 o'clock. You can get tickets for free if you use the promo code THEDEEP when you call into the box office. So find their phone number on the website. It's easier than me just yelling it out to you. Call them and use the promo code THEDEEP, and you can get up to 4 tickets for free for me Sunday at Stand Up Live right here in Hunts, Vegas.
Pretty cool stuff. We'd mentioned Joe Buck on the call of the U.S. Open for Fox earlier this week. I guess Monday we talked about him botching the name of Brooks Koepka's girlfriend by referencing her as his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, usually a bad move.
We spent some time on that and got good feedback, so I thought it'd be intriguing to at least follow up with how and why this took place. He joined Dan Patrick yesterday to discuss just how this happened. There were a lot of different theories we had, but this is Joe Buck yesterday discussing his confusion with Dan.
How's morale, Joe?
Morale's good. Happy that a long week of golf is in the books, and obviously with your boy Brooks, now we all know who he's dating, especially me. That's exciting. I wasn't up on that information. I got handed a card by a buddy who was phenomenal all week, and it had old info on it, and you know, we got it right before we got off the air. But that's not the world we live in these days. You have to do the apology tour for getting the week old girlfriend wrong.
So that's Joe Buck talking about it yesterday. We mentioned sort of how and why that would have happened.
Wasn't Paul Anzinger hanging out with him the whole weekend, which we were hoping it would be the case? Which would be like, these are my buddies.
We still don't know how Anzinger knew the correct information. We just know that Joe Buck was handed a card, said he read it, which that's kind of, you know, you go back to that Anchorman thing where if you put anything on that telestrator, he'll read it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these play-by-play guys, you hand them a card, they're going to read it because most of those are promos. So when you hear Joe Buck in between golf shots,
say Brooklyn 99's coming up?
Yeah. Or say Saturday, don't forget, we've got Braves, Reds, 2 p.m., FS1. Joe Davis will be on the call for that one. That's somebody handed him a card to read a promo for that baseball game. So, I don't. Obviously, you have stats guys that work with you. They hand you cards of statistics as well, numbers, information about guys. And his buddy probably trying to help him out. Thought he was doing him a solid. Had old information, like Joe said, and it went south. But he didn't say the guy's name, so that's good.
He said buddy.
Yeah, he could have thrown. Maybe
his name was Buddy.
Anzinger and really just tossed him under the bus there and decided not to. That's a good job.
There are guys named Buddy. Maybe his name was Buddy. I have a buddy. Maybe it could have been his buddy. Listen, I would like to think that the original proclamation that we had is completely true, which is Paul Anzinger went out there and said, I'm about to railroad Joe Buck and try to end his career. Lots of people are watching the ceremony and the ending of this tournament. They want to see who he hugs. Joe just said the worst person he could say, which is the ex. I mean, you could say someone he's never dated before, but you can't say the ex. I know for a fact that information he just got is a wrong-o. And now I'm going to tell you all about his new girlfriend, the model, and show you how plugged in I am to the scene.
Yeah, show you how smart I am.
I know everything about these guys' girlfriends.
Wow.
That's how I like to prefer.
That's how you like to pretend that it went down?
Okay. And I don't even know if it's that far of a stretch. I think Paul Anzinger is just that kind of dude. Still doesn't help us with why Paul Anzinger decided to jump in real quick and be like, wrong! Wrong. Very, very wrong.
Another trade that we did not mention yesterday in the NBA are the Lakers trading Tim Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell to the Nets for Brook Lopez and the 27th pick on tomorrow's NBA draft.
Oh, that's where Timofey Mozgov went.
So D'Angelo Russell will now be a New Jersey Net, or Brooklyn Net, excuse me.
Boy, that's going to suck so hard for him. It's going to be so bad for him. He and Jeremy Lin could just hang out together in Brooklyn and just have a sweet old time. It really looks like when you start seeing some of these pieces fall as they are, it really kind of seems like the Lakers are gearing up for next offseason.
You don't think that there's a chance they make a run at Paul George this year?
No. I think they just let Paul George finish his year in Indiana.
Take a rental season.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to be Indiana. But.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't. He would rather. He's just telling Indiana he doesn't mind being traded. He's not going to play for Indiana past this season.
Correct, which leads me to believe 100% he won't be playing for Indiana this season. They're going to get something for him.
But I just wonder how much you're going to be able to get for a guy who's going to be able to say, 1 year, I'm gone. So if 1 year he wants to go to the Lakers, and I'm sure there have been some kind of back channel discussions, because I don't think you're allowed to do it yet, that Paul George has said, I want to go to L.A. I've always wanted to go to L.A., and I want to go for the Lakers. Do you want me? Because I'll play. And call Magic Johnson, or someone call Magic Johnson, and say, this guy will play for you next season when he can. Don't trade anything for him. Don't try. He'll be there in a year. Now, in that year, maybe that means LeBron James says, hey, I too have a house in L.A. I will then go to Los Angeles and play with you. And then it will be Lonzo Ball, the number two pick, probably. Yes. LeBron James.
No one wants that.
And Paul George in the West. But the only thing, I'm with you, Cole, the only cool thing about going to the West is if you go to Los Angeles and be with the Lakers, because that's kind of fun. That's, you know, the Showtime team. But Golden State's still not going anywhere for at least 3 years.
No, they're not.
That's still the toughest, most demanding road to get through if you're looking purely for championships.
I just don't understand how guys would think going to any team in the West to create their new version of a super team is a good idea right now.
Now.
Because, by the way, San Antonio is still going to be pretty good, too.
Yeah, oh, yes. And, I mean, Paul Gasol just opted out of his contract so he could take less money with San Antonio.
And let's not pretend like Houston and Oklahoma City aren't a move or two away from being very dangerous teams in the playoff.
Let's say this happens next offseason. Here's the crazy thing about next offseason. Paul George will be available. LeBron James will be available. Russell Westbrook will be available.
Ooh.
Blake Griffin's available this offseason. I think Chris Paul could be available this offseason, but definitely next offseason. What if the Lakers somehow found a way to get LeBron James, Paul George, I'm going to say it, Russell Westbrook, and, hold on, the Knicks just give up on Kristaps Porzingis, and he didn't. All of a sudden, it's Kristaps, it's LeBron, it's Russell Westbrook.
I still don't like him Paul to beat George. Golden State.
That would be such a super team. They're probably not definitely getting Kristaps. They're probably not Russell Westbrook. But Russell Westbrook's an L.A. guy. I mean, played at UCLA.
With the way things are heading in the NBA right now, this is what's really nutty about this, is I can't completely rule that out in my own brain.
You can't.
I can't sit here and say there's absolutely no chance that that happens, because I actually do think that there's a slight chance that it happens. It's not 80 or 70%, but there's a chance. So the real question here is, what can Adam Silver do moving forward to, I don't want to say prevent this, but try to limit this, so to speak? The salary cap is not working.
It's
the luxury tax is not working.
Look, Cleveland's a small market team.
These hometown discounts for veteran players is not working.
Krista, I don't know why I said that. They've tried to do this with the whole, if you've been a guy who's been drafted by a team and been there 8 years, and if you make first, second, or third team, you can get like $75 million more dollars.
Oh, yeah, you can negotiate it like a day earlier than everyone else. It's kind of like football players. They allowed us to sign up for classes 24 hours before everybody else. Like, we're going to give you 24 hours to negotiate with this guy before anyone else can.
Yeah, they try to do things like that to sort of encourage people to stay with the teams that drafted them. But the bad thing, again, a bad thing about Golden State is they drafted their guys, except for Durant. I mean, the bad thing about, you know, like you can say LeBron moved around, but Kyrie was drafted by Cleveland. I mean, if you draft and get a really good guy, a really good player, then you talk about the trade. Like, Dwayne Wade was already at Miami. Bosch and LeBron came in. L.A. would be the super, super team. If you had Paul George come in and LeBron, and I think a lot of this will be contingent upon LeBron saying yes. Paul George wants to be in L.A., and I'm sure he'll just take whatever money to go to L.A., even though in Indiana he can make a lot more money. Once you get to, I guess, a certain number, which is something we talk about, how much more money do you need in versus do you want to win a championship?
I think Kevin Durant is proving that not everybody needs a max deal right now in the NBA.
Yeah, because once you get to, like, I don't know, $150 million, you good? I mean, Dwayne Wade just took, just basically said to Chicago, I'll take all your money right now. Because I'll stay.
Well, he's already got his ring, so he's good. He doesn't need to go compete so for another ring.
He's like, we're good. What other super team's going to want me?
I'm in my hometown. I want all your money.
Yeah.
Start trading, guys.
So the money is so ridiculous. What can Adam Silver actually do? I don't. The way this current CBA is and the way the money is coming in with the TV contracts, you can't really do anything against it. But again, let's not act like super teams are brand new. We've had other super teams. I brought up Karl Malone and Gary Payton both joining the Lakers trying to get to a run. But you can't punish a team if they draft somebody really good. Like
how great
getting
was it
Steph
that
Clay.
Team failed? Was, Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
It was very great.
It was so good.
It made me so happy. Mainly because I'm a Knicks fan. Anything that doesn't help the Knicks, I'm cool with.
Abby Kowal of TexAgs.com will join us at 9:20. Talk a little bit more College World Series. When we come back, SB Nation has a career path change for your favorite minor league baseball player. They have an idea they're throwing out there for Tim Tebow, and it's not giving up baseball because I know that's what you want. I'm going to tell you what it is when we come back right after this, and maybe you'll agree with it next on Cube Show.